Welcome to the Purple Political Breakdown. How's it going? How's your day been? I'm a little tired, but I do have to film, record this podcast episode to kind of let you know what's going on in the recent week. This is the Purple Political News. So hope you guys are enjoying yourselves, of course, as the weekend kind of comes around. You should be listening to this on Saturday. If not, I appreciate you listening to it on a different day. But the recent week had some interesting topics, interesting news that I want to share with you, of course. As always, if you do enjoy what you're watching, make sure you guys like the video on the YouTube channel. Make sure you rate it 5 stars on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I really do appreciate you. Now let's dive right into the news. First things first, the U.S. economy added 353,000 non-farm jobs in January, exceeding the economist's estimate of 185,000 jobs, and from December's upwardly revised 333,000 jobs. According to government data released yesterday, or a couple days ago, most of the jobs in January were added in professional and businesses services, around 74,000, healthcare, 70,000, retail trade, 45,000. Average hourly earnings grew 4.5% year over year in January, up from 4.1% in December. The reason why I read that out to you is because there was a strong sentiment that the economy obviously is not good, that it's all Joe Biden's fault. And I want you to kind of utilize a little bit more nuanced thinking when you think about what occurred during Biden. I'm not the biggest Biden supporter, nor am I a Democrat, but we do have to realize that COVID affected the entire world. COVID was something that Biden and his cabinet had to come in, fix, and restart our economy. Considering estimations, consistently Biden was able to basically go over as expected and improve the economy to the extent it did under COVID should be praised, to be honest. People look at Donald Trump, and if we're being completely honest, Donald Trump, especially in his latter years, didn't really do much for the economy. Before COVID, he was doing a great job coming from the tail end of potentially other great economic policies. But I feel like people don't utilize the nuance and provide the proper context in terms of what is going on in society and why is it the way it is now. Overall, the economy has been improving considering what we've just been through, and I think there's something to be said about that, of course. The only thing that I'm really like concerned about when it comes to the economy moving forward is the housing market, and that is going to be the biggest question mark for a while to make sure that prices of homes, prices of rent is a more manageable price for families and for the middle class. So with that said, that is my 2 cents regarding that. Let's move on. The U.S. forces struck more than 85 targets affiliated with Iran-backed militants, including command and control centers as well as missile storage facilities, according to officials. The airstrikes come after 3 American soldiers were killed in a drone attack at a U.S. military base in Jordan last weekend. Like I said prior when I talked about this situation, this occurred because of a mistaken identity for a drone that appeared at a U.S. military base. The conflict between the U.S. and Iran is going to be going on for a while now. And with Iran basically having connections to our worst enemies, it's really tough to see where we go from here. Some other bit of news is that scientists at the University of Wisconsin-Madison are the first to develop the 3D printed brain tissue, which grows and behaves like a natural brain tissue. The group used a new 3D printing method, stacking layers of tissue horizontally rather than vertically and using a softer bio ink. This model will allow scientists to better study neurological diseases, including Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. This is a huge step in technology for me. I do think that creating scenarios that are able to be duplicated and tested without any moral ambiguity is the best case scenario for advancement of science. Something to consider for all of you is that a lot of advancements that we kind of think of were tested in probably the most brutal ways. They went about testing certain things on people, and you could definitely say that it was inhumane. Now that we have the capability to test things, test very serious things on things that are not living, but things that act in accordance to the law of nature, that would be huge in creating certain advancements for the human species. And diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's is just one area of kind of changing the scope of humans right now. I'm sure they're going to do more things in regards to the biggest things that cause death in America, such as heart disease, such as cancer, and those will be huge moving forward as well. So this is interesting, and I'm all for 3D printing technology is definitely the way of the future. A little bit lighter news, I guess. By the time this comes out on Saturday, the Super Bowl will be this Sunday. So go Chiefs. I just had to put that out there for y'all. Israel and Hamas. So I did get some information incorrect. I misread it. So apparently, I believe Hamas was the one who proposed the three-step phase plan in terms of releasing hostages. I thought I said it said Israel. I might still be misremembering it, to be honest. But from what I've seen recently, Hamas offered the plan to Netanyahu and Israel, and he denied the plan completely. I'm not exactly sure why he denied the plan for peace and kind of recuperating the hostages. It probably had something in part due to him not wanting to end the conflict, or he believes that going along with their plan could put their soldiers in danger. It's tough to see. I guess they want to keep the pressure. I think that's the biggest thing that's going on right now. They want to keep the pressure on Hamas, and by keeping the pressure, they could eventually get them out there altogether. They don't want to give them any breathing room. At this point, it's all about priorities, and I get keeping the pressure, but if you have hostages that need to be cleared out, shouldn't that be on the top of the list? I'm not sure. As for Ukraine and Russia, there's no major things I could say. I know there's like some missiles that was launched in Ukraine that killed a few people, and then the Russian general was basically told to step down. So this conflict still carries on as of right now. Next is the Senate failed to advance legislation combining border security provisions and supplemental foreign aid yesterday or a couple days ago in a 49-50 vote. Now, I know they are trying to do another bill to kind of get that passed, and it did get passed by the Senate, but basically they're trying to figure out the type of aid they should be sending Ukraine, Israel, and then the border. I've always told people that we have the resources to handle all of these things, but it really depends on where the resources are going, how they're being utilized. It's a bad picture to a lot of mostly conservatives that we're sending aid, but a vast minority of the aid is being dealt with at the border. Now, the question is, do we need that much money for the border? I'm unsure, but at the very least, when you look at it from face value, if we're sending like 67 million or 67 billion to Ukraine, Russia, Israel, Palestine, and we're only sending 20 billion to the border, it looks weird from the naked eye. So I'm kind of I'm indifferent regarding the idea because I do believe we can handle both, but I would really have to know how the resources are being utilized. At the very least, we can say that the resources and the money we sent to Ukraine, Russia, Israel, Palestine They are going to use it how they can to finish the conflict, which will be in the best interest of America. The money we're sending at the border, how are we allocating the resources? What are we using it for? And basically, is it going to improve the situation at the border, improve the security? Or is it being used to open up the gates and letting more people in? I'm unsure as of right now. Next is a jury found a Michigan mother guilty of four counts of involuntary manslaughter in connection with her son's 2021 mass shooting at Oxford High School that killed four students and injured seven other people. She faces a maximum penalty of 15 years in prison for each count. Her sentencing is scheduled for April 9th. And the father is also going to get a charge later on. I've talked about this before, and I think this is warranted because if the parents aren't doing the job in setting up the kid for success, or even worse, if they're not doing their job and let their kid fall into a dark path, then certain blame should be held onto the parents. The parents shouldn't. When you have a kid, this is an extension of you. This is an extension of who you are and what you represent. And if you're not doing your job, yes, your job, if you're not doing your purpose, then you should be punished depending on the consequences. Hey, man, I'm not going to feel sorry for you. This is not a I'm not responsible for this person type situation. You are the mother. You are the father. We need to hold parents more accountable. They want more responsibility. They want to know more what's going on in public education. They want to know more what's going on social media. Well, here's your chance. Get involved. Pay attention to your kid and make sure they fall down the right path at the very least. And the last bit of news I'm going to share before we wrap it up. Federal officials charged 70 current and former employees of the New York City Housing Authority, alleging wide-range scheme to take cash payments in exchange for city contracts. Get rid of corruption. I'm all for corrupted people going in jail. And actually, I have one more thing. I should share this. That the case between Donald Trump and whether or not he should be on ballots due to the 14th Amendment and the idea of whether or not Donald Trump committed insurrection is going on. What will the sentence be? We're still unsure, but that case has happened as of right now. So I'm curious to see what they rule in. Also, I should probably do this for a YouTube stream or video with Tucker Carlson interviewing Putin. Ultimately, I think it's ridiculous to think that people getting upset that you're interviewing one of our biggest enemies and you're interviewing a known dictator that's enacting war on another country, you can not understand why people would be pissed is absolutely ignorant. And I hate when conservatives and Republicans kind of come at a vantage point thinking that this is something that should be commonplace. Now, do we need some type of understanding? Of course. Do we need some type of resolution? Of course. But there's a war going on. And the only thing that people like Tucker Carlson is going to do after this, because I saw one sentence from him afterward, after the interview, and what he did is he attacked America. The first thing he did after talking with Putin is criticize America and the government. Calling the government weak. He said, I'm not defending Putin. Yes, you are. That is a cover up and you're pathetic. And all the conservatives that are backing Tucker Carlson, that interviewing Putin would have no grace if Tucker Carlson was interviewing maybe a trans woman that was, who knows, maybe a trans woman that is, you know, beating up other women in UFC. You wouldn't have the same type of grace because your priorities are screwed up. It's crazy how many of the right-wing lunatics hate our country just as much as the left-wing lunatics. Like, the fact that there's so much criticism from both sides is disturbing. And people like Tucker Carlson are feeding into it. I'm not necessarily against the interview. My issue was I'm against Tucker Carlson doing the interview. He is a horrible representation of the people. He's a horrible representation of the government. He's a horrible representation of America. So the fact someone like him who constantly gives Donald Trump grace and constantly criticizes everything that is mainstream, constantly criticizes the government, he goes and interviews one of our biggest enemies right now in terms of Russia, and he comes out of it criticizing America as his first post. That's the first thing he does, criticize America? That should tell you all you need to know. All the filler words of, I'm not defending, those are cover-ups. They're covering your bases. So idiots that support Tucker Carlson can go, but he said he's not defending him. Actions speak louder than words. Stop being fooled. Are we serious? I'm going to watch the entire thing on stream. I'm going to break down the entire conversation. I'll be as nuanced as I possibly can that I tend to do in all the conversations I'm with. But the there shouldn't be a criticism of people who don't want Tucker Carlson interviewing our enemies. There shouldn't be a criticism of someone who criticizes the country, who criticizes the government, who criticizes the people so much interviewing our enemies. Like, it's not the fact that he's interviewing Putin, it's that it's Tucker Carlson interviewing Putin. That is the problem. Because then he's going to share propaganda, he's going to incite the righties, now they're going to be Russian Putin supporters, and he's all his fans who already think badly of the government and think the election are stolen are going to start thinking maybe Putin's not that bad of a guy. They'll do the exact same of this irritates me so much. They're going to do the exact same thing that the radical, idiotic lefties were doing when it came to Osama bin Laden's letter. They're going to do the exact same thing when supporting Putin. The hypocrisy is glaring, but I say it all the time. The left and the right are two sides of the same coin. So that's all I got. A little mini rant at the end. Hope you guys enjoyed. Y'all have a good one. Take care and peace.